This is ArtBeat, WMUK's weekly look at creativity in the arts in Southwest Michigan. I'm Zinta A-Stars. Eric Joseph lives in the past. When he works in his Richland studio, he creates art that's inspired by the Middle Ages, forging knives, making mugs, drinking horns, and musical instruments out of antlers, horns, steel, and wood. His business is called Griffin Stone.
Obviously, by looking at my work, you can see that it's inspired from history or very much informed from history. Long ago, I started down this road of just playing with images from history. Earlier on, I started working with cast cement, and I didn't bring any of those with me, but you've seen pictures.
Yeah.
And they were all inspired from architecture. So the kinds of things you see carved in architecture in what we'd, I guess, would call the old world, but medieval Europe. Much of it inspired from early medieval and high medieval art, which was largely on buildings. But then I got more and more fascinated in the early medieval period, which there were a lot of objects that we find from that period that are from Anglo-Saxon and Viking cultures.
Is this happening when you're a youth or in adult life? Or when did this capture your attention?
Yeah, that's very hard to say.
Yeah.
I think I've always been interested in it as, you know, as a kid.
A history buff? Or?
You know, I never thought of myself that way.
Yeah.
Not until recently. But as a kid, I remember watching, like, Jacques Cousteau.
Ah.
And there was always an episode where he finds something down in the sea, some artifact.
Some
treasure. And these objects that people created were fantastic.
Yeah.
Just amazing. And you know, we think of these people from 2,000 years ago or even further back as being, quote-unquote, more primitive than we are today.
Oh, I think we've lost some of this skill. But what you've brought in is so detailed. It's exquisite.
Thank you. Well, I think one of the things that inspires me, or I guess the word I'm looking for is the impetus for this work, is that I'm more and more aware of the fact that we live in a time that is all driven by mass production. It's very industrial, and we have no real connection to the things that are around us.
They're just stamped out on an assembly line.
And there's no human touch there. There's no one person that makes these things.
Right, right.
And of course, being an artist, it's all about the one person making something. I find that when I look at these objects, you know, they may not have thought of them as art the way we think about art. But from the beginning of time, mankind has been creating things, and a person made this thing and expresses who they are.
Because some of the things you've made are practical utensils. You've got knives here. You've got a mug here. Some of it is jewelry, which maybe is just for mm-hmm. beauty. Some of it may be called musical instruments, horns.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
So some of these are practical items, and yet there's something in human nature, I think, that calls for beauty.
Yes. Yeah, that's what expresses our humanity, I think.
Yeah.
And so I find these things from the past that are functional objects. There are so many things we find that are just amazing. They just draw you in. They're treasures. And of course, we still have them because somebody treasured them. And that's what I hope to do with my work is create treasures that someday somebody's going to, you know, long after I'm gone, I hope that someday somebody will pick this up and it will inspire desire in their heart.
This is ArtBeat on WMUK. I'm Zinta A-Stars. Talk to us about the process on some of these, and I'm sure it differs quite a bit on what you're working on. I'm fascinated with the array of materials, many of which are natural materials. Or we can maybe start by talking about the horns that you use.
Mm-hmm. What we have here in the studio are two horns that are drinking horns, and of course the function being used to drink something. Often it was mead or ale, but there's a long history of the use of drinking horns. And these are made from cow horns. I've sanded and polished them. I seal the inside with a modern material. It's a food-safe epoxy. Traditionally, they would have seasoned them or sealed them with a wax of some kind.
Mm, okay.
And then I've decorated them with a variety of materials. I have one here that has cast bronze on the end. So that's using a lost wax cast process. And then the band around the top is forged out to fit the horn, because, of course, every horn is different.
Right.
And then the designs you see are acid etched. So I have to lay down a resist by hand in the forms that I want, and then the design is etched in. And I use a very deep etch, so I get a three-dimensional effect with it. And this one in particular is beautiful because it has also garnets set into it.
And the patterns, the colors are fascinating me. I live out in the country. I see cows every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've never looked at their horns. I think I'll be looking at their horns differently now. With the polish and all, the patterns, the colors are
yeah.
striking.
Yeah, it's a little like polishing stones.
You
can walk around and look down at a stone.
It looks gray and ordinary.
And it looks pretty ordinary until you sand and polish it.
Yeah.
I find every material I use, whether it's wood, bronze, cow horn, deer antler, it all has its own beauty, its own character.
And you brought in this mug. The handle is deer antler.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you've used some kind of a horn.
Yep, for the body of the mug.
Yeah. And the bottom is wood. So, yeah, I love all these natural materials. Talk about the knives a little bit. I'm fascinated also that the blades are patterned.
Yeah, this is a process that's becoming more widely known today. There's a show on television called Forged in Fire that features artisans having to create a blade in 3 hours or something like that, and it's amazing. And sometimes they do what's called pattern welding. It's commonly called Damascus steel. And what it is two or more alloys of steel that have been layered up and then forge welded together into a single billet. And then it's forged out, drawn out, folded, and manipulated, kind of like phyllo dough.
Yeah.
And then the resulting pattern in the metal is due to the folding of the metal.
And even the top of the blade, it's not just the sides of the blade, but even the top of the blade has patterns on it.
Well, this piece, I've done what's called file work on the top, and that's simply filed in. It's a decorative addition to this blade.
Yeah.
And it's not uncommon with blades to have some kind of decoration on the spine of the blade.
And you also make some kind of musical instruments?
I do make blowing horns.
Okay.
They're also from history. You know, there's a history of blowing horns being used. Often they were signal horns used for battle or for signaling, royalty coming or something like that. They were used to communicate. Hunting horns were often used.
Call the dogs.
Yeah, and they're as musical instruments, they're rather limited because they're often a very short horn and they resonate on one note, but they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, I bet.
I'd like to stress that you look at this work and it's so much fun to create these things.
I'm Zinta A-Stars. You've been listening to WMUK's Art Beat, our weekly look at the creative arts. I've been speaking with medieval artist Eric Joseph. Visit WMUK.org to hear more of our conversation and view photos of his work. And join us every Friday at this time for Art Beat. Thanks for listening.